What a night in the NBA. And look, we had two games come down to the wire, but it didn't get much better than what we had in game two of TNT's doubleheader.
LeBron, no! Porter's got it! Nuggets, 12 seconds remaining. They're not going to call timeout. Nine seconds remaining. Murray's got to go! Murray! Let's it fly!
Call that courtesy of Altitude TV, as we had Jamal Murray sinks the Lakers after a furious comeback. And look, we can talk about how the Lakers blew it and they blew a
20-point lead.
And all of those things are true. But what you look for in playoff basketball is the star showing up, and for three quarters of Anthony Davis, four quarters of LeBron James, you had those two stars absolutely dominating in that game. Nikola Jokic sleepwalks through the first half. He looked like lethargic, kind of like he was lost. And in the second half, he goes wild. Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter comes up with 8 points in the fourth quarter after not being able to hit the broadside of a barn. And he comes up with back-to-back massive, massive buckets. And then, whether it's LeBron James on the block of Jamal Murray at the rim on a dunk, you had the and one from LeBron. They were making plays, trading blows. It was a heavyweight fight going back and forth throughout the entire game. It was everything you could ask for in a game. And it would be, in my mind, like that game would be an all-timer if it wasn't game two of the first round of the NBA playoffs.
I think it's still an all-timer. Just because of the performances that you had, we've gotten this far without really talking about the fact that the thing we probably should lead with is that Nikola Jokic finished with a 20-20-10 line the fourth time he's done it in his career. Nobody else has done it more than once, and only four other guys have done it once. He's done it four times. 20 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists.
That is crazy.
Absolutely dominated Anthony Davis.
And did not look good in the first half. Like, the first half, it was like, what's going on?
Everybody's like, oh, Anthony Davis is controlling him. Well, here's the thing. Nikola Jokic never runs out of gas. Anthony Davis had zero gas in the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis had one rebound and 0 points in the fourth quarter. And he had a phenomenal game.
I thought it was, yesterday I was very critical of Anthony Davis. He played about as good as you can play for those first three quarters.
Yeah. I mean, he started 10 of 11 for the field. He was hitting everything.
He had, 24 points at halftime and was 11 of 12? And he was a one-man wrecking crew. And he was really good on both ends of the floor, too. George Karl had a tweet that even me, who is critical of Anthony Davis, went, whoa.
Damn.
AD has always been a hell of a three-quarter player. Too bad the NBA is a four-quarter game.
Yikes.
George Karl.
Former NBA head coach. But he's not wrong. Whoa. When Anthony Davis runs out of gas, he runs out of gas. There's no... Look, the thing about Jokic, beyond his skill that is insane, is he looks like he's meandering and falling down all over the place. He never runs out of gas. It's insane. He's 7 foot. 300 pounds, and he just trudges up and down the floor, blah, 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 just looks like he's falling all over the place, and then he's there when you need him every single time. Anthony Davis, when he runs out of gas, there's no, like, playing tired. He doesn't have, like, that in him. It's just, and that's, honestly, that's very normal for big guys. That was Yusuf Nurkic. When he ran out of gas, you were like, oh, God, here it goes. There's a limit that you get to with most seven-footers. Shaq and Jokic were different.
Yes.
Shaq, go back and look at the minutes played. Go look at the minutes played and then look at the usage. And Jokic is the only player ever at that size to mimic that.
And there's a lot a lot of people crack their jokes at him about shuffling up and down the floor, not being explosive.
That's how he can play.
That's the reason why. That's the reason why.
He doesn't have six speeds. He's a three speed center, and he's got what they're all built for torque. They aren't built for speed. It's about just having the power whenever you need it. There was a time in the fourth quarter where he got Anthony Davis. I think it was about 2 minutes to go, 2:30. He took Anthony Davis and boom, boom, backed him under the rim and just shot over the top of it. And was like, oh, he just moved Anthony Davis like he wasn't there.
But then you also have those moments where that was a memorable one. But remember when he was in the middle of the paint, and I thought Jamal Crawford was great, where he just goes, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do? Where he did like a drop step, spin move, pirouetted back around, went right underneath. Yep. And it was like, what do you do with a guy that size who can do that late in games? Mm-hmm. Late in games is the thing. And that's where you're talking about having that one gear. I think that that was the Lakers' absolute best shot.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, D'Angelo Russell and like
seven threes.
This Texas says, glad the Lakers lost, but let's not forget the D'Angelo Russell. That's the third piece. The Lakers needed, even in a close loss, no Russell, no chance. Absolutely. He came through and he shot the lights out. I mean, that was exactly what the Lakers needed to do. And I thought, you know, Darvin Ham, where he gave after game one, like, we have the adjustments. We just don't want to make the adjustments known. In the first half, they did give the way they played the pick and roll, and then the pick and roll that they played on the other end, kind of going at Jokic and mm-hmm. making him make a decision. And when he was dropping back and you're hitting threes, Denver's just daring them to make threes. And they did.
And then they didn't have it, the adjustments in the second half.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that they didn't have that when the Nuggets came out and started running more inverted pick and roll with Jokic as the ball handler, not Murray, and going more DHO-centric and Jokic did a great job of getting Murray involved, because Murray was awful. Murray was awful during the fourth quarter.
You know, I loved what he had to say after the game. This is courtesy of TNT.
And I told my teammates when I was struggling, like, I'm going to look for y'all. I'm going to look for y'all. And every single one of them told me to keep shooting. Keep shooting. Be aggressive. Keep shooting. Even when I was throwing up that floater. You know, they just told me just stay aggressive and keep looking for it. Keep hunting it. I had the ball with a few seconds left, and I knew once I made a couple, you know, the next one should go down as well.
His teammates were just saying, keep shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Keep shooting.
It's one of
keep
the best playoff performers in modern NBA history. They know what he's capable of. They've seen him do it in an NBA finals. Like, this is not a thing where they're like, I don't know about Jamal. Like, I don't, like, they know, just get it going, man. We need you. Cause you take a look at the bench. Denver's bench gave them 12 points, which doesn't sound like much. The Lakers gave them six. You had 18 total bench points in this game.
Can't do it. Like, that is absurd to think of. And that's where you kind of go to, that was what the Lakers' best punch looks like. Because, all right, who are you going to get bench points from?
Or
Spencer Dinwiddie? Or
you need Rui or Reeves to step up.
And I saw this floated around, that maybe the Lakers' best punch in this, because of the way he defends, is Gabe Vincent in the starting lineup. And do you try to find a way to bring... There's no way you bring D'Lo off the bench, but if you need some sort of scoring punch in a shooter, who do they have as a shooter coming off that bench?
Torian Prince was too. I mean, he shot 40% from three this year on volume. Like, that's what he's brought out there to do. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, even if they get Vanderbilt back, Vanderbilt's not a shooter.
Nope.
So, yeah, Vincent, you know, is supposed to be, but also I was, when this happened, you know, the Lakers in free agency let Schroeder go and signed Gabe Vincent. And then Vincent didn't play basically the entirety of the year. They're a lot better off with Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
Like, they're significantly better off with Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
And I said that when they did that, I was like, why would you pay Gabe Vincent this money when you, it's like, you have Dennis Schroeder at home.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening here? And that might, weirdly enough, be their undoing here of any chance of competency, because they are just not getting anything from that group.